Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres Capitals Saturday, Sabres Leafs on Sunday, Sabres Live with Shayna Goldman right now because it's Friday. Marty, you're first out of the chute.
The first question today, Shayna. I love it. Okay, so Elliot Friedman in his latest 32 Thoughts is mentioning that teams are calling Kevin Adams about Dylan Cousins. It's more of a vultures are circling around right now trying to see how can we pluck things out of the Sabres and take advantage of this situation. But my question to you is almost like, okay, well, would that be something the Sabres would entertain in a way? And what the value of Dylan Cousins be right now? We know he has a long-term contract and the production is what it is, but what is the value for a 2C potentially for other teams?
Yeah, it depends on what kind of team is acquiring him, right? Because if it's a deep Stanley Cup contender, do they view him as a 2C right now? Or do they view him as a 3C? Because everything gets, you know, shaken up on a roster that has that depth that really depends on where he would land. But I think the problem is right now, if the Sabres were to move him, they'd be selling low. And I don't think they'd be able to maximize his value. It's a little different than Casey Mittelstadt last season, who is scoring a ton and had all the points on the surface. But the concerns were, does he match up below the surface, right? And they were able to capitalize on that with a young defenseman. I feel like if the Sabres were to move Cousins, they probably would want a similar return, right? That young NHL caliber player who can fit into the lineup now and fit in the long term. I just don't know if you get that if you move him too soon, and it's coming off now a year and a half of downward play from his best season, that I don't know how you accomplish it.
Would that be for a forward, though? Like, you would look, the fit would be like you need to replace a forward. You need to add a forward if you're going to lose a forward, right? It's not a defenseman.
Unless you're getting some incredible right-handed defenseman, no. And the cost of a right-handed defenseman, we know how overvalued that could be in this league. So I think a forward would have to be the answer. And you would look at it and say, well, they're going to need more center depth then. Are you going to find a center-for-center trade right now? I'm not sure. Or do you find that true top-six caliber wing? But, like, you're asking for a lot there. So I think it would be really tricky to accomplish.
Trevor Zegras is dealing with another leg injury, this time a knee. It's going to keep him out 6 weeks. He's often been in the news cycle just merely from speculation standpoint. Does this latest setback make him any less tradable? Do you think Zegras will be moved at some point this year?
Really tough to say. The injury, I think, throws a total wrench in the situation. And it's tough because he's had injuries. They're not exactly like reoccurring injuries that you're looking at like, wow, he's so injury prone. Like this one was a freak thing, right? It was a non-contact injury. It didn't look good off the bat. It's hard because you can't now say, okay, let's see what we saw from him this season and go, is that potential there? And it also depends on how a team views him. Are the Ducks, you know, still viewing him as a cornerstone of this team? Do they recognize maybe that's not going to happen? How does another team view him? Because you could look at it two ways. Do you think that he is the true top line center of the future, or is he that true complementary star that goes alongside your franchise cornerstones? I feel like teams are going to view him as the latter, and that's going to hurt his trade value. But then again, do you wait any longer and hurt his trade value some more? It's really tough, and I don't love how Ducks management has operated so far, so I'm very torn on whether they'd be able to maximize his trade value.
I think Trevor Zegras is gone by the deadline, and this is probably best-case scenario. Meniscus, 6 weeks, like, okay, let's keep going.
They have lost five in a row, to put into perspective where they're at as a team.
Where they're at, and I think a team... Look, they know if it's a meniscus, they could trade for him right now and say, you know what, we'll trade for now and we'll wait until you're healthy. Like I think that could happen for Trevor Zegras and the Anaheim Ducks. Just to go back to the Sabres a quick second here, Shayna, because at practice, they're 1-for-26 on the power play their last 10. They've lost 6 of their 8 games in that losing streak by 1 goal, 3 in overtime and 3 in regulation by 1 goal. And the power play could have helped that. They have Tage Thompson kind of testing out the bumper position with Yuri Kulik on the right flank. I have 2 questions for you with the power play, but what do you make of Tage potentially being in the middle of the ice there on a bumper kind of option as opposed to the left flank one-timer?
It's not the worst position for him to be in because you still generate a lot of quality chances from there. Before this season, when Steven Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov reached on the wings, you had Braden Point playing the bumper position in the middle, and he was fantastic at it. Like, for some players, it works, and they're going to produce a ton there. But in today's game, power plays tend to run through the circles, right? Like, we've moved away from a lot of shots from the point, and it's now defensemen feeding someone from the circle, or that cross-ice pass, even better, you're going to make the shot all the more dangerous because the goalie can't react to it as quickly. That's where I would want him to be, because that is the most dangerous spot, and he, I think, is the team's best shooter, and he's had a ton of success there getting set up for one-timers. So try something different. Why not at this point? Because it's not working, but I won't be surprised if we see him shift back.
And I know, obviously, wait, my follow-up quickly is, I know that obviously Rasmus Dahlin is your, you know, power play number one, QB, whatever. Would you try Bo Byram there as opposed to Owen Power now? Because I think like that would be a different look. I mean, Power's got some great offensive abilities, but 1-for-26 the last 10 games. And 8 of those games, I think, 4 of those games without Dahlin. So I'm looking at, would Byram be an option there?
Why not? You know, at this point, that's it, at this
throwing
point,
everything.
You're throwing everything, but you're also, it's not like you're throwing everything and saying, okay, here's this third pair defenseman who doesn't do anything. Like, here's a guy we know has the offensive instincts. And obviously in Colorado, he was never running the top power play. You're never going to a camel car there, and that's okay. When he came to Buffalo last season, he jumped on power play 1, and immediately you did see everybody was still in formation, which is when your power play is the most dangerous, but they weren't stagnant. I think he added a lot of movement to it, and everyone was kind of like cycling through and finding their rhythm. Obviously, there were some concerns below the surface. Was it sustainable, this and that? And all of that's true. But at this point, if he can get them going a little bit, why not? And maybe it'll give him a confidence boost that'll trickle down to his even strength play.
Braden Point is the best bumper player in the league, correct?
Yep, probably.
4 more points last night. It is absurd.
That's not Kucherov, 6 points.
I know, points that's the thing. Peanuts. A Gensel hat trick, Kucherov 6-point game. And
with
Braden
no
Point.
Victor Hedman.
Oh, yeah, I know. Just like a game-time decision, like last-minute scratch. And, yeah, like it was remarkable. They threw up 8. The Penguins threw up 9. Montreal threw up all over themselves again, presumably, because that's what Marty St. Louis was saying earlier in the year. Yeah. So, yeah. And how about this one? Another 3-point game for Macklin Celebrini on the heels of me caving into Marty a day or two ago when I said, I guess you were right, Michkov's going to win the Calder. I'm doing a diss or dat. Celebrini or Michkov for the Calder, Shayna.
I have been saying Celebrini all year, so I'm going to stick with it because, like, going into the year, I felt like, okay, he's going to win. I wasn't sure what we were going to see from Mitchkov. And Mitchkov has been excellent, right? I think he's the spark the Flyers have been missing. He has the high-end skill. He's very gutsy. We saw him attempt to Michigan last night. Like, he's doing everything and more. I love it. But I see the star power potential for Celebrini. And it was a little bit touch and go there earlier because obviously...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
He was hurt, then he came back. His underlying numbers were really bad, and not just, oh, bad because they're on the Sharks, bad relative to his teammates. They put him with Will Smith, and then all of a sudden, things just started happening. You see the flashes of star power. You saw the gutsiness day one when he had that spinorama pass that ended up being a goal. The fact that you were trying that at the NHL level game one says a lot about him. And then I think we're seeing it just game after game now. The Sharks are making games interesting. They're staying in games. And now they have this star power who has so much skill. I think in the long run, it's going to be him. But I mean, I love that we might actually have a good race here.
There's so much to go and talk about with what happened in the NHL last night and the weekend with the Sabres playing Washington tomorrow and then in Toronto, a couple of games on the road here. Toronto is Sunday, 5 p.m. Like the Leafs lost Anthony Stolarz last night. We don't know for how long. Is Washington the best team in the East? I mean, they are pretty good. You pick, Shana. Where do you want to go for those two games the Sabres have this weekend?
Let's go to the Capitals. Because I'm enjoying them a lot. Like, the Leafs are not playing well, and they're managing some wins, and that's great for them, sure, wonderful, whatever. But, like, it's not fun to watch. The Capitals are actually fun to watch. And it's funny because I've been asked multiple times this week, like, does anyone impress you? Is anyone looking like a true contender? Does anybody on the top of the league go, oh, my God, this team is so dangerous? And the answer is no. Every single team is flawed, including the Capitals, because the strength of their roster doesn't add up to the strength of other teams' rosters like the Panthers, right? If you had to pick a roster right now, you're picking Florida every day of the week. But I love what the Capitals are doing. The coaching impact is so evident. And I don't think that always happens in the NHL. Their even strength game is so impressive. The power play has found their stride. The penalty kill is good. The goaltending is good. Charlie Lindgren's coming off his best game of the season. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's all coming together for them. And it's all the more impressive that they're doing it without Alex Ovechkin. So they have been a surprise team that is very fun. Do I think they're going to win the Stanley Cup? No. But do I think they're going to, you know, make an impact in the postseason, maybe win a round? Why not? If they can keep building from here.
Yes, they snuck past Columbus last night in overtime, and Vegas was able to do similar. They had a late comeback win against the Jets, a team they have now beaten eight straight times. They had two incredibly untimely tripping penalties, did the Jets, in the final 3 minutes of regulation. Victor Olofsson capitalized. Victor should have won it. Then right after that in regulation, then Victor should have won it again in overtime, but just missed the target before Barbashev. But like, oh my gosh, Shea Theodore was all world again last night. He it's funny, even just you tune in, you bounce around game to game, and you just hear like the commentary in game, especially from a home side, because they've seen all the games, right? And there was just so much positivity about Theodore. And I'm like, yeah, this matches up with everything I'm seeing. It's cool. Like, Vegas has been like the Capitals. They're amazing on the road and just showing incredible depth once again.
And now they're healthy, which they haven't been. So I think that's going to help, because they were winning games earlier in the season, and they're scoring a ton on the power play, and the 5-on-5 offense wasn't there. And then the defense fell apart, which is very uncharacteristic for this team. And when you look at the roster, but now it's like, okay, everybody's healthy. Now the goaltending can be consistent. Like, there's something there. But the difference is too, like, I would be optimistic in Vegas, because if they don't look good, you know management's going to find a way to make them look good at any cost.
Yeah, Vegas will do that. Now, funny enough, last night I was doing some TSN work, and they asked me, why does Winnipeg have so much of a hard time against the Vegas Golden Knights? And I thought, well, the Vegas defense is huge. They're big. They gave up 25 shots to Winnipeg last time they played 2 weeks ago. They won 4-3. And 19 shots in 60 minutes yesterday, and then a shot in overtime. And then Mike Kelly, Sports Logic, was on Amazon, and he said the same thing. And I was like, well, I guess I may have, feels like I copied off Mike Kelly, but it's just the one thing, right? Like, it's just Vegas's defense is huge. Is size on the back end still so important in the NHL?
It can be. You can get by without it. We've seen teams win without it, right? But it's not just the size. It's like the size, the strength, the depth, the fact that you have two pairs that could go up in matchup minutes, the fact that you have two forward lines that could go up in matchup minutes. Like, to me, that's what stands out. It's the defense up and down the lineup. It's not just on the back end. It's, you still have Mark Stone. You have William Karlsson. You have Jack Eichel, who's even become much better defensively and can kill penalties now. Like, who knew he had that in his, like, toolbox? So I think all of it comes together. And Bruce Cassidy is very good at coaching defensively inclined teams. We saw it with Boston, too. And it's not just, well, he's been handed rosters. I think he knows how to maximize them. So the size definitely helps. But it's not something every team must have. I would be focusing more on having that defensive depth. And when you go up against a team like Winnipeg, we can look up and down that roster and say, look how many defensively flawed forwards they have. And look at the fact that they don't have that same depth through their three pairs.
Oh, wait, we got to get you off mute, Asian Duffer.
I would bet the farm, Marty, that no one could answer this question. Who are the top three goal scorers on the Vegas Golden Knights?
Doryev.
Barbashev.
Barbashev.
Dorofeev second.
Dorofeev.
And Brett Howden third.
That one
14,
is like a testament to what
10,
Vegas has done, right?
I'm telling you, like, this is crazy. And, like, Eichel, fingerprints all over the game last night. Mark Stone, unbelievable. Like, we always joke about Mark Stone celebrating goals. You should have seen the little bunny hop he did when his pass across to Olofsson results in the tying goal. Like, this...
Because he threw that penalty that made it a 5-on-3. And how about this yesterday,
so
Duffer?
Just love seeing people love playing the game.
That's why I think everyone loves him too. It's like the two-way game is so fun to watch, right? Like, who doesn't love watching him pick passes off everybody and turn play the other way? And he doesn't have a ton of speed, yet he's such a good two-way forward. But the energy that he brings, the vibes, I mean, come on.
Shayna, what did you make of Bruce Cassidy down a goal and he gets a power play? He goes 6-on-4. And then they get the two-man advantage. He puts his goalie back in, and he says, we're going 5-on-3. We are not going 6-on-3 right now. 6-on-3 is too many people. Too confusing. We're going 5-on-3, and they got the goal. Like, is that what teams should do more, or is 6-on-3 a better setup? Obviously, you're 2-to-1.
No, I think 5-on-3 is hard enough. How many times do we see a team get a two-man advantage and no one's moving? Like a 5-on-4 power play, you see a lot of movement. You see players roving around. I feel like 5-on-3, you get a little bit stagnant because maybe you're overthinking it. You have, in theory, all of this space. And obviously, the penalty killers want to stay in their formation as much as possible. I think you add a 6-forward into it and it just complicates everything. Like, absolutely everything. It's too much. And how many teams practice that on top of it?
Yeah. It's practice 6-on-3 for half an hour.
I would do it and do like lacrosse, where you keep that extra person out of the equation and just have them as a rover to keep plays alive. You know, like in lacrosse, the ball goes flying back and you're trying to prevent it from being an over and back. I think I would utilize it that way, but that's topic for another time. Shayna, thank you for the insight as always. Enjoy the weekend. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
We'll have a quick Sabres update when we continue on Sabres Live right after this.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.